All right, if you would, go to Proverbs chapter 4. And I wrote on my hand, time. So some of you guys remember last time I went almost close to an hour. So I'm gonna keep my eyes focused on that and be more aware. I know you guys will be thankful for that. So let's go ahead and start reading chapter 4, Proverbs. Hear ye children. We could stop right there, right? Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. And then notice the contrast between verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you just help me to communicate this truth, these three appeals that Solomon gives his son, to the best of my ability. I pray the Holy Spirit would open minds and eyes and hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would listen and hear and be doers of your word and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Solomon gives three appeals to his son. So you can kind of break up this chapter in three sections. And of course, I had to give Brian, I had to go over what Brian had gone over before, reminding us that these are probabilities and these are good things to practice that he went over. If you receive my words, if you treasure these commands, if you listen with your ears, if you apply, etc., then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And I figured since it's 2017, we don't need stairs. So the guy was getting tired. So I wanted to ease that a little bit. You know, kudos to Brian. Everybody's basically used it. So I thought I might as well. All right. So moving on, just keep in mind that this is a father speaking to a son. This is a father who wants his son to be successful. He wants him to have wisdom. And John Piper had an article that I read concerning this chapter, had a pretty good comment. I believe all men have this in common, that they want to be happy. They do not all agree on what brings them the greatest happiness, but they do all long to have it. And this longing is not bad, it is good. Evil consists in trying to find happiness in ways that displease and dishonor God, and goodness consists in finding happiness in ways that please and honor God. And what you see with the if and then, or what we will look at in chapter 4 where he has some do's and some don'ts, he's wanting his son to be happy. Find happiness that is not going to be temporary, because we know what the Bible says about you can have happiness in anything for a season, but he's saying this apart from God, or this what we know the Lord tells us not to do. We know that there is happiness in ways that can please and honor God, and those will last eternal. And so these three appeals that he gives, verses 1, 10, and 20, they all start the same way. So I want to focus this first part on just the fact that we need to listen. Listen and get wisdom. Listen and seek righteousness. Listen and keep your heart. And all of those, you first have to do what? Hear. Listen. And so parents, I'm going to challenge you first, and then I'm going to go to the children. And of course we know that there's a spiritual application, as all of us, hopefully, we are children of God. So the application there is to hear the word of the Lord and apply it. But let's focus on the parent and child relationship. So parents, for the child or children to listen, you first have to do what? Have to communicate it. Okay, they first must be what? Told. And so he starts off at chapter 4, the very first verse, and it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And so you see two people that we notice in this very first verse. You have the child and you have the parent. Okay, and the child is not going to hear unless what? They're told. Parent gives a command, gives advice, gives a something to do, do's and don'ts. And I remember as a teenager or as a preteen growing up in my household, mom was, she communicated 24/7 all the time. This is what she expected. This is what the Word of God says. This is what you should do. This is what a believer does. This is what, and she communicated. And as a teen, yes, I was like, oh, I'm sick of this, but it really stuck. Okay, and I had this option of hearing. And so parents, the challenge is that you realize the importance to communicate, okay, especially God's Word, God's commands to your children. And we'll hit that in a little more detail. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I believe it's been hit on before. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through verse 9. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Okay, so just a few pointers or a few things to discuss in these verses. Okay, Moses is giving this, and he's saying it should be in your heart first. And we all know that actions speak louder than words, right? So if you're not living it as a parent, okay, I'm still talking to you parents, if you're not living it, you're not doing it first, they're not seeing it by your actions, your behavior, your attitude, how you handle yourself, it's important to you, okay, then now, when it is important to you, Okay, you first, then teach them diligently teach your children diligently the God's word or the commands. And the idea of diligently there is now and later, okay, past, present, future, time and time again. Because let's be honest, how many times did my mom tell me to get my hand out of the cookie jar? As a kid growing up, it was like, okay, there's snacks, it's there. Okay, she had to tell me more than once. And just like this morning, going over the gospel or going over these facts of Christ, like we've heard this again, we've heard this before, but Pastor was emphasizing that this is important. And if it's important to you, you will communicate time and time again to a child. Okay? Respect matters, little Billy. And this is why it matters. Okay? And you give scripture references or you give application or this is why we love one another. Okay? And you're constantly teaching them God's word. And if you just tell them one time that they should love their neighbor, one day later, if they have siblings and they're anything like my siblings and I was growing up, it was, okay, constant reminder. Love your sisters. And we should communicate time and time again. Another thing he hits is when you're sitting down or even when you're walking. So the idea is while you're resting and while you're active. Okay, so whether you're at work, you're up on your feet, you're at church, you're in the car, you're doing this or that. Okay, you live it indeed. And then when you're resting, when you're at home, when you're on the couch, when you're at the dinner table with your children, you are telling them in word. Okay, you're communicating truth, principles from God's word. And then finally, the last thing they kind of hit, when you're lying down or when you're up and about. So basically this idea of 24/7, right? Continual. Time and time again. Hit it as much as you can. And so parents, checklist here. Are you doing your part in this relationship? Okay? Check yes or no. All right? Children. Okay? So now to you teenagers, kids in here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Okay, so we address the parent. Okay, first you got to tell or communicate it. And now this is where the hearing and applying is applied for the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Okay, so the first thing, one thing I hit with my 5th and 6th graders all the time, is that the inward appearance matters to God. Even if your parents can't see it, the act of obedience outwardly is not all of it. It's just 50%, right? So inwardly and outwardly, you're obeying the command. Of course, spiritual application as children of God, we can apply this that way as well. Honor your parents. Okay, I hit these 5th and 6th graders all the time with respect for authority. Okay, respect for your elders, respect for your parents who provide and do so much for you. You should have a level of respect. My mom taught that. She watched the eye roll. Even if I was obedient and doing, like I said, the outward appearance, doing what I was supposed to, she was watching my behavior, my attitude, and it was important for her to address that if I didn't do it sweetly and completely. All right? Another thing was that it may be well with you. Okay? Kids, listen up. This is beneficial for you. Bottom line. Yes, it's beneficial for you to take the trash out for your mom and dad. Okay, it's helping them with chores. I had a list of chores to do. Many of you have a list of chores or expectations you're supposed to do to help around the house. Okay, yes, that benefits your parents, and they're thankful. All right, but at the same time, this is teaching you good work ethics, etc. Multiple things you can apply to your life that are important. Okay, so addressing out of these appeals is first you have to what? Listen. Okay, so there's a two-way relationship there. You have to hear the word, and then of course you apply it. All right, so let's get to the first appeal. Okay, listen and get wisdom. So look with me in Proverbs 4 again, and go to verse 5 and verse 7. Verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." And then verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Okay, you get the urgency, like, get this, like, please, Rehoboam or son, please get wisdom. Please get understanding. And so I'm glad Dave was here. I didn't see him at first. I was just like, oh, basketball reference. I got to come over here where Dave is. If you have a basketball game, we got two different games going on. Okay, the first game on my left, or your left, you have 100 points for the home team, 0 points for the guest. A most miserable game for 50 people participating. All right? Let's say the coach for the losing team, there's 2 minutes left, and the coach calls a timeout, and he, with all his might, he's going crazy, and he's going, Dave, he's going to all his players, he's like, you gotta get that ball! Get that ball! Get it! And all his power, all his might, he's communicating the importance of getting the ball on defense. Do you think they're going to be urgent and or they're going to take that seriously? I mean, maybe if it was a 10-point game, maybe a 5-point game, 20-point game, but 100 points, those kids are going to go out there and it's just nothing's going to change. But let's look at the other. Where let's say the home team, it was 25-25, but let's say the home team's up by one and the coach calls a timeout. 3 seconds left. You sense the urgency. You know what he's going to say? Okay, any basketball people in here, you know, get the ball. Steal if all possible. Okay, and then like other options are going to come as foul or stop the clock or whatever. But at that first moment, they're going to try to get a steal right off the get-go because they're down by one. And there's a sense of urgency where the coach is going to communicate that, and you can just tell the players are ready. So is it important to you to get wisdom? Is there any urgency for you to seek out wisdom and obtain it? That's the question. And the first step in the pursuit of wisdom and understanding is to determine to obtain it. Like, you have to be willing to work. You have to be willing to apply. You have to be willing to put effort and energy and time into this. So you have to ask yourself, how valuable is she? And what we get from chapter 4, and I mean all the other Proverbs, but 4 specifically, you get that he's stressing the importance. Like, this is important. Son, please get wisdom. Please get understanding. And he repeats himself over and over again. Look at verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Okay, so you see these two words up there. Exalt and then embrace. Like this. Importance of having it. And of course, it kind of goes with what Pastor Sean was bringing us to before I got up here. What if we embrace wisdom like we embraced our phones? Because I'll be honest with you guys, okay? I have my phone on me 24/7, just about. Okay, and why do I do that? Well, here's a couple... Oh, wrong slide there. All right, there's a couple reasons. Okay? Like, I love finding answers to whatever question I don't know or can't find at the moment. Okay, like, if I'm with the pastors during the podcast, and there's one time where Dave doesn't know the answer. Almost all of us are on our phone like, oh, let's look this up. And we're finding that answer. It's convenient, right? Any question you have, and if you have internet access, you basically can get the answer. Showing something important to someone. Okay, so I'm having a discussion with Ty Smith why the Utah Jazz are better than the Detroit Pistons. Okay, I'm able to communicate. I can look at my phone. Okay, I can go through the past. Oh, John Stockton, Karl Malone. Like, look. All right, Pistons ain't got nothing, Ty. All right, and so I'm able to show that through my phone. Okay, putting in a reminder. Okay, some of you have talked to me that you got kids in the children's ministry or underneath my ministry, and you'll talk to me and you'll see me. Sometimes I just get my phone out. I either text my wife so then she'll remind me later, and then I also have it on my phone, or I'll email it to myself so I'll see it later so I don't forget. It's very convenient, right? And some of you probably do the exact same thing. Okay, so here's my phone. Okay, and I always have my phone because I sense what? Importance of having my phone. Right? And if I was to ask you guys who's got your phone, okay, it'd be like 90, 95%. Then if I said, oh, who's got their phone open right now in front of them? Some of you would look over. Ah, all right. Make sure Pastor Sean's not looking. So if we applied that, okay, I just got a little piece of paper, put wisdom on the back. And what if I embraced this and I exalted it? Like, this is, wisdom's important, and I'm embracing it. I always have it, 24/7. Okay, how am I going to handle a bad waitress? Okay, she's having a bad day. She's got two or three jobs trying to provide for her single house. Okay, she's just not doing her job. And our first instinct is what? I'm not going to tip her. I'm not going to tip her well. Or you'll be rude or whatever the case may be. But what if you held wisdom close by, and what would wisdom tell you? It would tell you to not act selfishly. It would tell you you deserve a lot worse. All right. It would tell you you don't know the circumstance for her. What about choosing the right response or even to respond? I know I've been married for 4 years, and it's a learning process. And sometimes when I'm wise and I have wisdom close, I know not to speak unless I think first. Or I know sometimes I'm not even going to respond. It just... Either way I go, it's just not going to be good. Also, what about this? On a more serious note, a child does something aggravating, but it's not sinful. How do you respond? Fathers, you respond out of anger. You treat them like they just sinned. Let's give a circumstance. Child's trying to help you and your wife making dinner, or let's say a cup. Like, he's filling, your son, 7, 8 years old, is trying to fill up every glass with tea. You had a rough day. You know, you're on the edge of your seat. You're just annoyed. It's been a long day. And he's trying to help his mom with dinner. But he spills his glass of tea or your glass of tea all over the kitchen table or all over you. Sinful? No. Maybe clumsy or maybe it's not helpful in a way. But he tried. And how do you react? If I have wisdom close by and I'm embracing wisdom, okay, son, just an accident. But when wisdom's out of the table, you know, you just explode. All right? Wisdom has to be important to us. Okay? So the first appeal, listen and get wisdom. Okay? So let's look at listen and seek righteousness. Okay? 18 and 19, let's first just look at the difference, what we're dealing with. Proverbs 4:18 and 19 says this, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Okay, so just a challenge to you and a challenge to me. Let's choose light. Let's not choose darkness. You do not want to be on the way or on the way of the wicked. So look with me, because it's very similar, and I'm teaching 5th and 6th graders in Sunday school, and we're going through 1 John. Some of them have addressed, salvation or baptism, and I thought one of the best books I could probably go to right off the bat would be 1 John, and talk about having joy in the assurance of your salvation. 1 John verse 5 through 7 says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Okay, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." See the comparison from Proverbs to now 1 John? Okay, this lightness and darkness. A believer is in the light, and then he gives one example. A person who's in the light and a believer. Okay, because the believer's in the light, because he has fellowship with who? God. All right, and he's going to love people. He's going to love specifically his brother, sister, and Christ. Because if you don't do that, then you're what? You're a liar if you say you're a believer. Okay, so he puts over here, okay, there's the darkness, means you're an unbeliever, you don't have fellowship with God. And a characteristic of that unbeliever would be that he doesn't love his brother. Okay, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. And he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So we want to seek righteousness. And when we seek righteousness, we need to be in the light. Okay, this path that is loving. Okay, that's one characteristic of a person who's on that path. Okay, so what path are you on? Okay, hopefully you can say that I'm on the path of the righteous and not the path of the wicked. So how do we seek righteousness? Okay, he gives us two things. He gives us kind of a do and then a don't later on. So verse 13 is the do. So look at back at Proverbs 4 with me. And verse 13 says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Okay, so, and I put over there a little flotation device or life vest or whatever. The importance is if you're drowning and you get that thrown to you, you're going to do what? And you are going to grip it and hold it as tight as you can until you are safely on board or safely on the beach. And he's and that right there is what we should do with instruction. Okay, and Jesus communicates how important it is to hear and do, be a doer of the word. We won't turn there just because of time, but looking at the sum of it. "Therefore, whosoever hears these things of mine," Jesus is speaking, "and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And that house, when the storm came and the wind blew and the water raised and hit up against it, it did what? It stood firm. Okay? And then he says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto what? Foolish man. And then he likened, you know, he gives the illustration, build on a sand. And what happens when the storm comes? And great is the fall of it. Not just the fall, but great. Emphasizing this, I hope I'm not a fool. Like, we need to be Bereans. Bereans need to be wise. Okay, we're seeking righteousness. We're doers of the word. And we, of course, have to hear first. We're listening. Proverbs 14 and 15, he gives a good thing. So hold on to instruction. All right. And then over here, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked. So avoid this. And go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. So he communicates like four different, okay, same thing, but he's, okay, don't pass by it, okay, don't turn to it, avoid it, pass away. I mean, how many ways can you say it? Emphasizing the importance of just abstaining from evil, okay? Or this crowd, these people, okay, that eat and drink wickedness, saying you need to separate yourself if you're seeking righteousness. All right, so a couple things we see, those who are righteous, okay, characteristics of a righteous person. Righteous person lives a blameless life or walks uprightly. Aren't you thankful for the people that you notice that are like this? That you can go to and say, please pray for, okay? We notice these type of people, and we should seek to be this person. Righteous people speak the truth. Okay, good thing. All right, they refuse to gossip. They refuse to do evil to their neighbor. A righteous person stays away from deliberate sinners. Okay, that's that warning that Solomon's giving to his son. Okay, and again, Pastor Dave hit months and months ago on how we deal with the world. Okay, it's not this idea that I put myself in my little bubble, but it's the fact that, okay, this person is trying to entice me to sin, okay, I need to separate myself. I don't need that in my life. A righteous individual honors those who fear the Lord. They are gracious and they are kind. Okay, a righteous person protects the innocent at all times. Okay, young ladies, teenage girls, okay, you see it at Berean all the time. And it's, or BBA at school, not just Berean, but other schools as well. You know, they get one boy that's interested in them, and they're just like head over heels, right? Woo! And, you know, one thing that I've communicated to them, and whenever I can, is that I tell them the truth. I state the fact. Okay, men are one of two things, a predator or a protector. And I tell them to look for characteristics of what you want in a husband, how they treat their mom, or how they treat their sisters, or how they treat the girl they're not interested in. And I tell them to look at those things. Okay, because you're either going to have a good guy or a bad guy. And it's important. So a righteous person looks out for innocent, or for people. Okay, so there's the second appeal, seeking righteousness. And I'm almost done. I'm going to fly through here as quick as I can. Proverbs 4:23, probably the most popular verse of this chapter. And it says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, so the question comes for that first part, that first section of that verse. Okay, keep thy heart with all diligence. So are you diligent in keeping your heart? Okay, diligence means a constant effort to accomplish something. Okay, so are you constant in your effort in keeping your heart? Okay, and I want to remind you, keeping doesn't just mean guard. Okay, so I put a positive negative sign there because guarding usually implies what? You're like keeping negative things out, right? Like you build a fence or a fortress and it keeps the enemy out. And let's apply, have a couple examples, but I'll probably just go over one. My dad has a Chevy Nova, and basically my brother wrecked it 20 years ago when he was in high school, and he's guarded the thing ever since, but he's not kept up with it, so it's basically what? 20 years later, it doesn't look anything like it used to, but he's guarded it. None of the other siblings have wrecked it. But the other example that I'll go over is marriage, right? Very applicable. We can go to that real quick. If I guard my marriage, it's a good thing, right? Like I guard against fornication. I guard against things that cause problems in my marriage. That would be a good thing. But will it sustain my marriage if that's all I do? And the answer is no. We know that, okay? I'm going to 5 love languages, right? I'm going to communicate that I love my wife. I'm going to do acts of service. I'm going to touch, okay? I'm going to hug and kiss my wife. I'm going to do things, and keeping my marriage means I'm doing both of those things. I'm feeding into my marriage, and then I'm also guarding, both good things. One dealing with negative things, one dealing with positive things. And just like that, the challenge is, are you keeping your heart? Because sometimes we just do what? We just guard. Like we go to church, we make sure we don't do this or we do that. Okay, but are you keeping your heart? Which means the other part of that, are you feeding your heart? Because you know your heart's desperately wicked, right? So we already have that problem. Okay, and if you're not feeding your heart, okay, where are we going to go? Yeah, bad shape. Okay, so keeping means to feed and to guard. Okay, so that's the first part of that verse. Now the second part. For out of it, so keeping thy heart with all diligence, for out of that are the issues of life. Okay, what comes in must come out. Okay, so we'll move on. You guys understand. All right, notice Solomon's use of our senses and body parts. Okay, so I just want to point to you all of what he communicates. He uses key words, and I think he does it on purpose. And yeah, if you want to be technical, some of it is symbolic. Okay, it's not all literal. I understand that. But what does this use mean for us? Okay, like inclining your ear, depart not. So like you're paying attention to instruction, using your eyes. Okay, he tells them it's health to your flesh to do these things. Okay, put away your crooked mouth. Ponder thy path, which I know that means evaluate, but he's using all these senses and communicating to us an importance of using what? Like some of our senses here, like what are you using to keep your heart? And some of these are bad, like the crooked mouth, right? Put away. So here's the do's and the don'ts, and then he's saying do this, don't do this. And he's using your ears, your eyes, your heart, your mouth. And so I came to this thought. If we can use these things to help keep our heart, can Satan use these things to harm our heart? Okay, yeah, and I think all of us would go, well, yeah, that would make sense. Easy question. And so I had a conversation with a kid, a 10th grader actually, at Berean. He did some sports, and some of those guys, they just like to have headphones in. They like to listen to music. And so I remember he was listening to music one day, and even though it's headphones, you can still hear, right? So I could hear some of it and kind of take, and I took from that, okay, I'm going to talk to him. And I have a pretty good relationship with him. So I asked him, I said, what are you listening to? And he's like, he knows I'm a pastor. And he's like, you don't want to know. And I was just like, no, really, I want to know. And so to make the story shorter, I got to the very end where I finally got him to say, well, I just listen to it for the beat. I just like the music, not the lyrics or the words. And then when he says that, I'm like, I got him. And I'm just like, okay, let me give you some beats that will actually feed you some good stuff rather than all this junk. And so if you look on your left, 50 Cent is like one of the rappers I remember he told me, which was kind of confusing because that's like old school. That's like 2005, I don't know. I remember hearing him at my public school when I was in high school. And I looked at the lyrics of one of the songs. I just picked at random, and I read these lyrics in the list that you have below, 50 Cent, the rapper, a 3-minute song, and I read the lyrics, and basically it had reference to violence 9 different times, acts of violence. All right, the importance or love of money was 5 times, sexual things, references 4 times, and drugs, it was only once, so, you know, it wasn't that, no, I'm just kidding. All right, so that's what he's getting. I asked them, how long do you listen to music per day? Maybe 2 hours. Okay, that's 14 hours a week, and he's listening to songs like that. You start doing the math, and it's just hundreds and hundreds of references to sex, cursing. I mean, just no wonder these guys can't control their mouth on the court. I mean, you look at what's coming in, it affects what comes out. And so I looked at one song. I think you pronounce it Shylin, right? Okay, yeah. All right. I looked at his lyrics, and he's got, I don't know all his music. He's a Christian. And one of his soundtracks is all doctrinal things. Like all he sings about is doctrinal things. Okay, so this was one guy I referred him to. Oh, you like that beat? Well, this guy's got the same type of beat. And in one of his songs, 3.5 minutes worth, he had 18 references to false teachings like prosperity gospel or the love of money and that Jesus can give you money, etc. And then also he had 8 references to God, the triune God, like Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, the Father, God's Word. Okay, the importance of reading or obtaining the truth of God's Word, the eternal state. He had 6 references to either hell or heaven. He had 5 scripture references, either quoting scripture directly or giving reference to it. Okay, so you see the difference between the 2 songs. Okay, and imagine if he listened to 2 hours of stuff like that. I mean, the impact that would have compared to the other. Okay, and that was just the very top. Let's use our ears as an example. Okay? Okay, looking at the end of his final appeal, verses 25, 26, and 27, let thine eyes look right on. Okay, eyes on the prize. Verse 26, ponder thy path of thy feet. Okay, evaluate your walk. And then verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This idea that there's only one path, one true path. Okay, and I'll go through these real quick and we'll be done. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark. This is the Apostle Paul communicating that he did that too. Eyes on the prize. Jesus Christ in glory forever and ever. Eye on the prize. Philippians 2:12, evaluate your walk. Okay, Paul again, communicating, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You and I would do ourselves a favor if we evaluated our actions, our behavior, each and every day. Because that's what it's going to take for us to grow and mature and become more like Christ. Because I'm Nathan. And I'm not like Christ. And as I'm walking and following Christ, I'm constantly evaluating my thoughts, my actions, and going, I need to fix this. I need to, oh, the Bible's showing me this. I might not like that, but I need to do that. And then John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way. There's one path to follow. And how are we going, or how can we seek righteousness? How do we get wisdom? What helps us to keep our heart? And the answer is simple. God's given us His Word. This was a VBS memory verse this last week. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's given us the instruction, the ability to have a biblical understanding, worldview, and it's right here for us just to get. And these are the three appeals that Solomon gives. And if you have a Twitter account, this would be a short summary, under 140 characters. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak from your word. Lord, I pray that each and every person would get some application from this, apply it to their lives. Lord, just the importance of realizing our need for more wisdom. As Brian had listed, this ifs and then thens, like this is treasure, like of high importance that Solomon's just, he's just begging his son to receive, to obtain it. And Lord, each and every one of us, I pray that we would realize the importance that it has in and through our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be more like you and become better believers that give a great testimony to others. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen.